وصحبه وسلم على خير الأنبياء وأفضل المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد بن عبد الله الذي أرسله الله جل وعلا رحمة للعالمين وحجة على الخلق أجمعين. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة أيها الأخوات، أنا سعيد جدا بهذا اللقاء ومسرور جدا بهذه الوجوه الطيبة التي نسأل الله جل وعلا أن يجعلها وجوه خير ونصرة للإسلام والمسلمين. نسأل الله جل وعلا يثبتنا جميعا على الهدى والحق حتى نلقاه، كما نسأله جل وعلا يجمعنا جميعا في جنات الفردوس الأعلى، إنه على كل شيء قدير.
The Sheikh began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and blessings upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by saying, my brothers and sisters, I am very happy that I have the opportunity to sit and be with you here today in this blessed masjid, and I'm even happier to look upon your brightened faces. And he makes dua to Allah for us by saying, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you a source of strength for the Muslims and the Muslim ummah, and make you an eye upon the truth until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
الموضوع الذي نريد أن نتحدث عنه موضوع مهم في الحياة الزوجية، ذلكم أن الإسلام عني عناية تامة بالزواج كما عنيت الشرائع السماوية قبل، وجاء دين الإسلام الذي نظم الزواج على أحسن وجه وأتمه وأكمله، فما أعظم دين الإسلام وما أعظم هذا العقد، عقد النكاح، عقد الحياة، عقد مقدس له قيمته العظيمة في الإسلام، إنه عقد يكون الأسرة الإسلامية، لبناتها الأولى هو بعقد هذا النكاح بين رجل اختار امرأة ورضيت به وتم عقد النكاح وكونوا أسرة مسلمة تدين بدين الإسلام، فهو عقد مقدس وهو أسوة بالأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى رأسهم وخاتمهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Our topic with you today is an important topic that needs to be discussed, and it is in regards to the married life, which is speaking about the life that you will live every day. Islam paid particular attention to the concept of marriage, and Islam regulated the marriage contract and the married life in the best of manners and on the best of guidance, that which was bestowed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how great is this aqd, this contract that a man and a woman enter into in union with one another, coming under the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to declare that they have shown their love for one another in practice of the Islamic principles of marriage. And this is how the foundation of the Muslim community begins and becomes solidified and established. A man will choose the woman and the woman will agree to accept him in marriage in hopes of coming together to build a unified, upright Muslim family who will come together to practice the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And marriage was the practice of all of the prophets that have come before him and was particularly perfected in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
In Islam يدعو أتباعه للاهتمام بقضية الزواج والمبادرة إليه، فهو يأمر الأولياء بأن ييسروا أمر الزواج، ويأمر الشباب بأن يبادروا إليه، ويأمر من لا يستطيع بالصبر. قال جل وعلا: وأنكحوا الأيامى منكم والصالحين من عبادكم وإمائكم إن يكونوا فقراء يغنهم الله من فضله والله واسع عليم. وليستعفف الذين لا يجدون نكاحا حتى يغنيهم الله من فضله. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا معشر الشباب، من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج. وجاء رجل أشاب إلى عمر بن الخطاب فقال له: عمر، هل تزوجت؟ قال: لا. قال: ما يمنعك؟ قال: لا أحبه، لا أحب الزواج. فقال عمر بن الخطاب: لا يمنعك منه إلا عجز أو فجور، لا يمنعك منه إلا عجز أو فجور، فإما أن تكون مريضا فأنت معذور، أو فاجر تريد قضاء الشهوة من غير طريقها الشرعي. لهذا فإن الإسلام يدعو إلى الزواج وإلى الزواج المبكر، يأمر بذلك الرجال والنساء. وما جاءتنا ظاهرة التأخير في الزواج، فالفتاة قد لا تتزوج إلا بعد العشرين، والفتى قد لا يتزوج إلا عندما يقارب الثلاثين، عندما ينتصف عمره، وهذا كله خلاف هدي الإسلام.
Islam called its followers to pay particular attention to marriage and its institution. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown this in different ways. For example, in Islam, the wali, the protectors of the women, are ordered to make it easy for the people under them to find suitable arrangements in marriage. Also, it is ordered to the youth who have the ability to get married that they should get married in as quick a possible, quick way of as possible. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, if you notice those who have little amounts of money, you see them that they are poor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give them wealth. But those who do not have sustenance and are wanting to be married, let them live an honorable life until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them. Showing you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even saying, if you do not have the ability, struggle and search for a way that will give you the ability to get married. And also the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he who has the ability to get married from amongst the youth, let him do so as soon as possible. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu once met a man, a young man, and asked him, have you become married? And the man told him no. So he asked him, what is the reason for not being married? And the man told him, I do not wish it. So Umar ibn al-Khattab told him, the only reason a person cannot become married is one of two things. Either he does not have the ability, or he is in a state of deviance, wishing to follow a course of deviance, doing what is haram and staying away from what is preferred. And therefore Islam seeks people to enter in this union as soon as possible. And this was the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the greatest of problems that have befallen the Muslim Ummah in our times today can be linked to the fact that many of the men and women are delaying the time that they are getting married. So the Muslim woman will wait until she is in her 20s before she gets married. And the Muslim man will wait until he is in his 30s before he gets married. Breeding amongst the Muslim society actions that are not preferred in Islam.
وإذا كان النكاح الزواج بهذه المنزلة في الإسلام وهذه العناية العظيمة، فإن الله جل وعلا يقول في كتابه العزيز: فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاث ورباع فإن خفتم ألا تعدلوا فواحدة أو ما ملكت أيمانكم ذلك أدنى ألا تعولوا وآتوا النساء صدقاتهن نحلة فإن طبن لكم عن شيء منه نفسا فكلوه هنيئا مريئا. فبينت الآية أحكاما كثيرة، منها أن الله أمر بالزواج وحث عليه عبادة، وأمر أيضا أن يتزوج الإنسان أكثر من واحدة تحت الشروط والضوابط التي جاءت في الآية. فإن لم يستطع هذه الشروط فلا يجوز له أن يتزوج أكثر من واحدة، وهذا مذهب جمهور العلماء على أن عدم التعدد هو أولى، خوفا على ذمة المسلم، فإنه ما من رجل تكون له امرأتان لا يعدل بينهما إلا يوم القيامة جاء وشقه مائل، وإنه ليقتص يوم القيامة حتى بين البهائم، ليقتص من الشاة الجلحة التي لا قرون لها من الشاة القرنى، فكيف يظلم الإنسان إنسانا مثله، وكيف يظلم أقرب الناس إليه وهو زوجته؟ فإذا لم يستطع العدل فلا يتزوج، فليقتصر على واحدة، وذلك أبرأ لذمته وأحوط لدينه وآمن له من أن يأتي يوم القيامة وهو محمل بالحقوق لزوجته التي لم يعدل لها. أما حين يستطيع العدل بين الزوجتين أو بين الزوجات فإننا نقول كما قال الله جل وعلا: فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاث ورباع.
Islam has shown that marriage is in a high placement amongst the greatest of worships. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, marry women of your choice, two or three or four, but if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with them, then only one, or that which your right hand possesses, that will be more suitable for you to prevent doing injustice. And give the women on the time of marriage their dowry as a free gift, but if they of their own pleasure remit any part of it to you, take it and enjoy it with right good cheer. So this is the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives permission to the man to marry, to have more than one wife, if he fulfills the proper requirements and meets the restrictions. But if any of these requirements and if any of these restrictions are not accepted or are not fulfilled, then the man is only permitted to have one wife. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats those who oppress in a harsh manner, as has been narrated to us from the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, that the one who is unjust between two of his women, two of his wives, he will come on the day of judgment half of his body dangling away from him, because he used to dangle in or move towards one of the women in a greater manner than the other. Also, the Shaykh says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge the animals in how they respected and how they dealt with one another, so that the ram that had horns, the one that struck the ram without horns, Allah shall put the horns on the one without the horns to strike the one that had been doing the striking in the dunya, as a way of giving it back its punishment. So the Shaykh gives us the point, so what about the woman who you are sharing your life with? when you oppress her in such a manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave such a thing, will not leave something like this without being taken to account. And this is also better for you to understand and have this consciousness of Allah, for it is better for your deen and for the society that you are living in, that you be just and meet the requirements. And if the requirements are not fulfilled, then you are to abstain from taking more than one. And if you can meet the requirements, then you may listen to the, then you may fulfill what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, marry of the women of your choice 2, 3, or 4.
بعد هذا إذا أراد المسلم أن يتزوج فإن أمامه أولا الزواج بالمسلمة وأولاهن ذات الدين كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك وأولاهن بذلك أقرب الناس منك وهي بنت وطنك لأن الحياة تكون أكثر انسجاما عندما يتزوج الإنسان بامرأة من وطنه ثم من قريته أيضا لأن ذلك يجعلها أقرب الناس لمعرفة العادات والتقاليد ومعرفة الأعراف ومعرفة النكتة ومعرفة الأسباب التي توحي أو تدل على رضا الزوج أو عدم رضاه ثم يأتي بعد ذلك الزواج بغير المسلمة وغير المسلمة تنقسم إلى قسمين إما أن تكون صاحبة دين سماوي أي من أهل الكتاب أو تكون من غير ذلك كأصحاب الديانات الوثنية فأما هذا الثاني أي أصحاب الديانات غير السماوية الوثنية فهذا لا يجوز التزوج بهن بإجماع أهل العلم وهذا يدلك على أن أمر العقيدة أمر عظيم وأن الإنسان قد يتأثر بصاحب العقيدة المنحرفة أما القسم الثاني وهي من لها دين سماوي وهم أهل الكتاب نتحدث عنهم في الفقرة التالية.
The Muslim man, when he is seeking marriage, he should first look to and choose a Muslim woman. This is the first designation that the Shaykh Hafizahullah gives us. And he should choose from amongst the Muslim women the one that he sees she has the greatest relationship with Allah. The greatest amount of relationship with Allah. For as the Prophet ﷺ said, choose the one who is established truly in the religion. فَاظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ Take the one who is truly practicing the religion. The Shaykh also gives us a side point where he says, when you are choosing a suitable mate, you should also look to a woman who may be from your same cultural background, or even the same city that you were raised in. For this is something that can give you a reference point in the rest of your life together. Places that you've seen, things that you've done, she will know certain jokes that are local in the area that you were, a way of a reference point that you can too meet and join together in. He then says the second group of women after the Muslim woman to be chosen for marriage, the second type is the non-Muslim woman. And these are broken into two different categories. The first, the non-Muslim woman who is from the people of the book, Ahlul Kitab, the people who have received a revelation from the sky, even if it is corrupted at this day and time. And the second type is the non-Muslim who is not from the people of the book, who is not from the people of revelation. These types are totally prohibited in Islam according to the consensus of the scholars past and present. And this is in regards to the aqidah that they possess, which is totally false. While the other group we will now begin to discuss with you.
قلت بأن المشركة الوثنية لا يجوز التزوج بها بإجماع أهل العلم. يبقى الزواج بالكتابية. فمن هم أهل الكتاب؟ للعلماء في ذلك رأيان. الرأي الأول أن أهل الكتاب هم اليهود والنصارى، وهم الذين تحدث عنهم القرآن كثيرا وكثيرا في بيان أحوالهم وصفاتهم وتصرفاتهم وبيان أحكامهم وغير ذلك. الرأي الثاني أن أهل الكتاب كل من لهم نبي ينتسبون إليه ولهم كتاب يدعونه، فهؤلاء هم أهل الكتاب، وعلى ذلك فيكون أشمل من اليهود والنصارى فقط، ويدخل فيهم كل من لهم كتاب ينتسبون إليه كصحف إبراهيم وصحف موسى والكتب الأخرى التي تدعى كشيث وغيره من الأنبياء. فإذا ادعوا أن لهم كتابا وأن لهم نبيا فإنهم يعدون من أهل الكتاب على هذا الرأي. والقول الأول هو الراجح وهو الصحيح وعليه الجمهور، جمهور العلماء، وهو أن أهل الكتاب فقط هم اليهود والنصارى، ولا يدخل فيهم المجوس بنص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإنه قال عن المجوس: سنوا بهم سنة أهل الكتاب غير آكل ذبائحهم ولا ناكحي نسائهم. فتميز المجوس وإن كانوا لهم كتابا وينتسبون إلى نبي.
We have mentioned to you that marrying from the non-Muslim women that are not from the people of the book is haram and not permitted. Now we speak to you about marrying from the non-Muslim women who are from the people of the book. The scholars have two different definitions of what the people of the book mean. The first, which is the most authentic, that the majority of the scholars follow, is that it only entails and encompasses the Jews and the Christians. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about them and described them and their activities to us in the Qur'an and labeled them the people of the book. Another lesser group of scholars have also stated that anyone who follows a prophet and has a book that they claim is revelation, that they can substantiate as being something of revelation from the past, meaning the scriptures of Abraham or something like this, some of the scholars, although this is not the most authentic answer, have stated that these are also people of the book. Yet, the most correct answer that the people of the book are only the Jews and the Christians, and that the Zoroastrians are not counted from them. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, treat the Zoroastrians like people of the book except that you are not to eat from their meat or to marry from their women. So therefore the Prophet ﷺ, although he showed that they are to be treated like people of the book and that they have a book that they follow, he says, do not eat from their food and do not marry from their women.
حيث رجحنا أن أهل الكتاب هم اليهود والنصارى فما حكم التزوج بنسائهم؟ هذه هي المسألة المهمة في هذه المحاضرة وهي عنوانها حكم التزوج بالكتابيات. ونستطيع أن نقسم النساء الكتابيات إلى ثلاثة أقسام. القسم الأول المرأة الكتابية في دار الإسلام، والثاني المرأة الكتابية الحرة في بلاد الإسلام، اثنين المرأة الكتابية الرقيقة في بلاد الإسلام، الثالث المرأة الكتابية حرة كانت أو أمة في بلاد الحرب. وسنقصر البحث على القسم الأول وهي المرأة الحرة في بلاد الإسلام، ما حكم التزوج بها؟
Now that we have established that the Jews and Christians are the people of the book, now we ask ourselves the topic title of our lecture with you. What is the hukm? What is the ruling on marrying from these women, the women of the book? He says the women of the book can be divided into three different types and categories. The first of them is the free woman who has freedom, free woman from the people of the book who lives in an Islamic land. The second is the woman of the book who is in bondage living in the Islamic land. And the third is the woman, whether free or in bondage, in the land of war. Since we are only faced with the first of these categories in our times now, we will be discussing with you the woman, the free woman from the people of the book, and the regulations of marrying her.
التزوج بالكتابية الحرة في بلاد الإسلام أو في بلاد الهدنة والعلاقات والاتفاقيات بين الدول أيضا تعتبر مثل المرأة المسلمة في بلاد الإسلام. فإذا نستبعد بلاد الحرب، فالبلاد التي ليس بينها وبين المسلمين حرب وإنما بينهم علاقات واتفاقيات وإقامة يقيم المسلمون في بلاد غير المسلمين بالشروط والضوابط، فإن الحكم يسري عليها كالمرأة المسلمة في بلاد الإسلام. وعلى هذا فإن القول لأهل العلم في هذه المسألة حكم التزوج بالكتابية، الأصل في ذلك قول الله جل وعلا: وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم وطعامكم حل لهم. وبعد ذلك يختلف أهل العلم على قولين: الأول الأخذ بظاهر هذه الآية وهو جواز التزوج بالكتابية، والقول الثاني منع التزوج بالكتابية أخذا بقوله جل وعلا: ولا تنكحوا المشرك ولا تمسكوا بعصم الكوافر. وقوله جل وعلا ولا تنكحوا المشركات حتى يؤمن, ولا تنكحوا المشركات حتى يؤمن.
Marrying the non-believing woman who is considered from the people of the book, as she is living in Islamic land, in an Islamic land, also signifies and is the same regulation that we would use in this land. The Sheikh says, as long as there is a link between the Islamic land and the Muslims are living, even if it is not an Islamic land, yet they practice their religion and they are free to do so, the same regulations will be established, whether here or there. The same laws are the same. So therefore, he says, the people of knowledge have stated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, the food of the people of the book is halal for you to consume and to eat. And your food is permitted for them to consume and eat. And marriage from them is permitted for you and for you to marry from them. The scholars, they say, these verses are to be understood that one side of the scholars say that you are permitted to marry if you fulfill certain regulations and fulfill certain duties that we will discuss with you later. And the second group said, no, you should not be able or should not be permitted to marry from these women, even if they are from the people of the book, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not hold on to the women of the disbelievers. And Allah also says in a different ayah, and do not allow yourselves to marry from the women of disbelief, al-mushrikat, meaning those who are polytheists, who take more than one God in worship.
وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُجْرِيَ مُقَارَنَةً فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِنَ التَّفْصِيلِ السَّرِيعِ لِأَقْوَالِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ فَإِنَّنَا نَقُولُ أَوَّلًا الْقَائِلُونَ بِجَوَازِ التَّزَوُّجِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِيَّةِ اثنين المانعون على قسمين, منهم من يمنع ويرى أن ذلك محرم ولا يجوز التزوج بالكتابية لأنها مشركة, ومنهم من يمنع لا لأنه لا يجوز ولكن لعلة يذكرها. فأما الأول وهم المبيحون للتزوج بالكتابية فهم جمهور العلماء, وأما المانعون فكان في الصدر الأول منهم عمر بن الخطاب وابنه عبد الله. أما عمر بن الخطاب فإنه لا يحرم ذلك ولكنه يرى أن المصلحة في تركه. أما عبد الله بن عمر فيقول كيف أتزوج امرأة تزعم أن عيسى ربها؟ وعلى كلا الحالين فقول عمر رضي الله عنه ليس تحريما لذلك فينضم إلى أصحاب القول الأول. وأما رأي عبد الله بن عمر فإنه لم يوافق عليه إلا القليل من أهل العلم. وبهذا فإننا نختار القول الأول وهو جواز التزوج بالكتابية عملا بالنص القرآني, وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم وطعامكم حل لهم والمحصنات من المؤمنات والمحصنات من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم.
Now let us look and analyze the words of the scholars in regards to this specific issue. The scholars, as we mentioned to you, are divided in two camps or two groups. Those who say yes, it is permitted, and they are the majority of the scholars, past and present. And then there is the second group who say no, it is not permitted to marry from the women of the people of the book. They themselves are divided into two camps and groups. Those who say it's haram or should not are divided into two groups. The first who say it is haram because these women are mushrikat, they have taken partners with Allah. And the second group are those who say it should not be practiced, it is prohibited, But not because they are mushrikat, but because it is not preferred in the Islamic society. And these two groups can be found in the statements of Umar ibn al-Khattab and his son Abdullah ibn Umar. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, he used to prohibit the marriages to the people of the book. And he would say, I do not see that this is something that should be practiced by the Muslims. Yet he did not say it is haram or it is something that should not ever be done. While his son used to say, how can a person marry a woman who declares and believes that Jesus or Isa is the son of God? How can a Muslim come to love such a woman or to find himself in union with her? The Shaykh gives us the sawab by saying what the scholars have come to an agreement on now, and what we understand as being the most correct position is the first position, which is it is permitted for the Muslim man to marry from the women of the people of the book as long as he meets certain requirements, which we will describe with you now. For this is the jumhur, what the majority of the scholars have stated, using the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, eat from the food of the people of the book and they can eat from yours, and marry from the chaste women of the believers and marry from the chaste women of the people of the book.
وإذا كنا قد رجحنا القول الأول وهو جواز التزوج بالكتابية فما هي الشروط لذلك؟ أولا التزوج بالكتابية مشروط بأن تتوفر أركان النكاح وشروطه، وكل ما يشترط للتزوج بالمسلمة. ومن المعلوم أن شروط النكاح وأركانه أولا الرضا من الزوجين، والثاني خلوهما من الموانع كما يشترط في المسلمة، والثالث الإيجاب، والرابع القبول. وأما الشروط فالولي وشاهدي عدل، كما أن المهر لا بد منه، ولا نكاح إلا بمهر قليلا كان أو كثيرا. وهذه شروط تشترط في المسلمة كذلك تشترط في التزوج من الكتابية، كما أن أيضا الكفاءة شرط، الكفاءة في الدين، فلا تزوج مسلمة قانتة صالحة ولا كتابية مستقيمة صالحة في دينها بماجن فاسق من المسلمين، فإن الكفاءة هنا معدومة. وأما الكفاءة في المواضع الأخرى أو في الأمور الأخرى فنترك الحديث عنها. يبقى هناك شروط تخص الكتابية، فما هي تلك الشروط؟ إن الشروط التي تخص الكتابية منها ما جاء نصا في القرآن العظيم، فإذا توفرت في الكتابية هذه الشروط جاز التزوج بها وإلا فلا. وقسم آخر من الشروط اجتهد فيها أهل العلم وجعلوها شرطا أيضا في زواج التزوج من الكتابية. فأما الشرط الأول فأن تكون الكتابية يهودية أو نصرانية، والشرط الثاني أن تكون محصنة، والإحصان معناه العفة، أي لا تعرف الفحش ولا التفحش، لا تعرف الزنا ولا وسائله ولا طرقه، ولا تحبه وتنفر منه، بل ولا تتكلم فيه. ومن الشروط التي جاءت بها الآية إعطاؤها المهر، المهر محصنين غير مسافحين، أي زواجا لا سفاحا، وعلانية لا سرا. فإن الزواج علانية والسفاح سرا.
Now we ask ourselves, what are the requirements and what are the conditions that must be met? First, the first conditions that must be met are the conditions that must be met when you are going to marry a Muslim woman. So the things that you would have to give the Muslim woman at the time of her marriage would be the same thing that you would also have to fulfill at becoming married to this woman of the book. The Sheikh gives us the example of that both the man, the groom, and the bride would have to be in acceptance without being forced or compulsion. There should be no hindrance. There should be an offer of marriage and there should be an acceptance from both the man and the woman. There should be witnesses. A dowry should be given. And that if the woman is known to be from the righteous and the established upon truth, upon following what is good, even if she's from the people of the book, that she should not be made to marry a Muslim who is deviant, who can corrupt her even more. The second requirements are the things that only must be fulfilled for the woman of the book from the Muslim man. For example, that she must be a Jew or a Christian. She must be chaste. Muhsana. She must be from those who have no concept of fornication. She would not even consider speaking about fornication. This is what it intends and means. She would have no deviance, past or present. A dowry, as we mentioned to you before, would also have to be given. And that the ceremony would have to be known. It would not be kept in secret. For when it's kept in secret, then this is where the problems arise. So if the man is going to marry from them, therefore it must be made known and open to all.
فالشرط الأول أن تكون من أهل الكتاب يهودية أو نصرانية فحسب فقط. والشرط الثاني أن تكون محصنة. وقد بينا لكم معنى الإحصان. فهل الإحصان الآن متوفر في النساء الكتابيات في أمريكا وأوروبا والبلاد الإباحية من غيرها؟ هل هذا الشرط موجود؟ هذا هو بيت القصيد. فلا بد من توفر هذا الشرط، وإلا فلا يجوز التزوج بالكتابية. فهو شرط جاء نصا في الآية، والمحصنات من المؤمنات والمحصنات من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم إذا آتيتموهن أجورهن محصنات محصنين غير مسافحين ولا متخذي أخدان. فأعتقد أن هذا الشرط يصعب تحقيقه جدا، فليس هو مستحيل ولكنه من قبيل الممتنع قد يكون. نعم.
As we mentioned to you, she must either be Jew or Christian. And second, she must be chaste. And we have described to you that she can have no concept or will to ever have or ever commit fornication. The Sheikh asks us now, is this something that is readily found in America or in Europe or in countries of such freedom? Is this something that is readily available? Is this something that you see on a daily or yearly basis even? This is not something that is found. Therefore, if you cannot find this condition met and that this requirement is met, it becomes now prohibited to marry from the people of the book. Unless you can find one who fits this profile. And the Sheikh says it is not impossible to find, but it is something that is very rare to find this condition met.
من الشروط أيضا ألا يكون في تزوج الكتابية ذل للمسلم، فإننا نجد أن الله جل وعلا أباح للرجل المسلم أن يتزوج بالكتابية لأن الهيمنة للرجل، الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم، أو برجل من أهل الكتاب لأن الهيمنة له، والله جل وعلا يقول ولن يجعل الله للكافرين على المؤمنين سبيلا.
Another condition that must be met is that the Muslim man is not to be made in a position of inferiority in relationship with this woman of the book. He must have the upper hand in the relationship. He cannot be in the place of inferiority or she in the higher position than him. If she is in the position where she is degrading him or he is in an inferior situation, therefore it becomes prohibited for him to find himself in this union. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deemed that the Muslim woman is in under no circumstances permitted to marry any man unless he is Muslim. Because the man will naturally have the higher position up upon the woman. So therefore the Muslim woman is not permitted under any circumstances to marry anyone unless they are Muslim. And if the Muslim man will be in a place of inferiority, therefore it is not permitted for him to marry from the people of the book. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, that we are not to place ourselves in a lower stature than the people who disbelieve in me.
ومن الشروط أيضا أن لا يؤثر ذلك على المجتمع المسلم، فإذا كان المجتمع المسلم تتوفر فيه النساء وقد يكن عوانس وأرامل ومطلقات، فمن غير المناسب أن يذهب المسلم ليتزوج بكتابية ويترك بنت وطنه وأمته الإسلامية، وإن الأولى أن يتزوج بمسلمة ولا يترك بنات المسلمين عوانس وأرامل ومطلقات ويذهب ليتزوج بكتابية. إن المسلمة لا خطر فيها على الزوج المسلم، بخلاف الكتابية فقد يكون لها خطر عليه في دينه قبل ماله وولده.
Another requirement that should be fulfilled is that there should be no evil side effect upon the Muslim community at large. For example, if in the Muslim community there are many women who are still unwed, or who were wed before and are now divorced, or whose husbands have passed away, therefore they should have the first priority before anyone is brought in from the people of disbelief. And this is something that should be understood and established. We should marry from the believers first. And the Muslim man is to know that the Muslim woman will have a less adverse effect or a less evil effect upon him and his household than to have a disbelieving woman or a woman from the people of the book living in amongst his family and raising his children.
ومن الشروط أيضا أن يؤمن التزوج بالكتابية، أن يؤمن خطرها وضررها على الزوج المسلم، أن يؤمن خطرها وضررها على الزوج وعلى المسلمين عموما. نجد بعض الدول تمنع التزوج بالأجنبيات حتى من المسلمات لئلا ينقلن أخبار الدولة المسلمة إلى الدولة الكافرة، وهذا أمر غير مضمون ولا مأمون.
Another requirement that could be fulfilled is that there should be no danger upon the man individually or the family collectively or the community collectively. The Sheikh even tells us there are certain Islamic countries that will never permit
a woman married to a Muslim man, even if she's from the people of the book, to live in the country in this union. They would not recognize it, would not permit her to live in there, due to the sensitivity of the issue, and due to the fact that she may be a person who is there and may cause more evil than good. So it is prohibited in certain places.
ومن الشروط أيضا أن يكون الرجل المسلم الذي يريد أن يتزوج بكتابية لديه حصانة في عقيدته ودينه، فلا يتأثر بالكتابية في دينها وعقيدتها. فإن كان ضعيفا رقيقا دينه تعين منعه إذا لم يمتنع من التزوج بالكتابية.
Another requirement is that the Muslim man, he should have a strong aqidah before he is permitted to be in such a union, and that he is to be of a greater influence on her than she is on him. That he is the one that influences her, and that she is not the one that is influencing him. And this is through a strong foundation of true knowledge and understanding of the aqidah of the Islamic belief system.
ومن الشروط في الإسلام لجواز تزوج المسلم بالكتابية أن يكون أولاده منها تبعا له في دينه والانتساب إليه، أن يتبعون أباهم في الانتساب وفي الدين، وهذا أمر قد لا يتحقق.
Another requirement is that the children that are to be produced from this union are to be made Muslim without any question. And this is to be something that is stipulated and understood by all. And that they are to be raised up upon the traditions of Islam and upon the cultural practices of this man as is known in the Muslim land.
قد لا يتحقق لأن القوانين الوضعية معظمها تقول بأن أولادها أولاد الزوجة يتبعون لها في الدين وفي الانتساب، وهذا أمر لا يجيزه الإسلام. والذين تزوجوا بكتابيات وخاصة من البلاد العربية لم يستطيعوا الذهاب بأولادهم في حال طلاق الأم، وأصبح الأولاد يتبعون أمهم في دينهم في دينها، فأصبحوا إما يهودا وإما نصارى. فمن يرضى لذلك والإسلام يمنع هذا أيضا.
And this is rarely found that you will know that you will see that the children are made to be Muslim. For in many countries that after the separation or if something happens, the custody is naturally and almost automatically given to the woman. So this is something that cannot be guaranteed in many lands that people are living in today. And this is something that many of the people who live abroad from the Muslims, who have married from the people of the book, are living today. That their children now have been taken and given in custody to these disbelieving women, the people of the book, and they are now raised upon the morals and the values and the beliefs of the disbelievers and are not in the etiquette of Islam, although in the beginning it was stipulated that they are to be raised as Muslims.
من الشروط أيضا أن تكون الهيمنة للرجل للزوج والطلاق بيده، والقوانين الوضعية تجعل الطلاق بيد المرأة إذا أرادت، وهذا لا يجوز في الإسلام.
Also from the requirements is that the man is in the control position in regards to divorcing and separation. And if this is not established in the constitution of the land, it makes it difficult and therefore it is not permitted. For as we know in Islamic law, the woman should have no control in giving the word of divorce. And this is something that only the Muslim man should possess. So this is also another stipulation.
ومن الشروط كما تقدم ألا يترتب ضرر على الزوج. وفي القوانين الوضعية إذا طلقها أو طلبت الطلاق فلها نصف ممتلكاته، وهذا أمر لا يجيزه الإسلام وهو في غاية الذلة والصغار للمسلم.
And another stipulation is that at the time of divorce, no harm should be befalling the man, meaning that he should be in a position where not the harm that is seen in this country is given. For example, the Sheikh gives us the example, at the time of divorce, the woman may be granted half of the man's property. And this is something that is not established in the Islamic law. So this is another requirement that should be stipulated before this takes place. That at the time of separation, if it happens, something like a prenuptial agreement, I would think.
أيها الإخوة والأخوات بعد سماع الحكم الشرعي وأدلته في جواز التزوج من الكتابية ثم بعد ذلك الشروط والضوابط فهل نقول بعد ذلك إنه يجوز التزوج بالكتابية من غير ما تحفظ؟ الجواب لا، فلا يجوز التزوج بالكتابية في ظل هذه الشروط القاسية التي تجعل المسلم في غاية من الذلة والصغار. والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.
Therefore, after hearing all of this, we ask ourselves, can anyone say that any of these, or most of these, or some of these restrictions and regulations be met? And if your answer is no, therefore we say it is not permitted for the man to marry from the people of the book unless these regulations are understood and are implemented. And he sends peace and blessings upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is where we conclude with our beloved Sheikh and educator and teacher, Dr. Saleh Al-Sadlan. Inshallah, we will be having the open forum and Nadwa al-Maftuha, where we will try to have some of the questions and answers for you, inshallah. I wish to make a special request to the Arab brothers. A request that even our beloved Syuq had made. Try to give the English-speaking brothers the opportunity to ask the questions. Many of the questions are coming in the form written in the Arabic language. We want to answer the question for the non-Arabic speaking population that is with us today. Although, if you have the opportunity and you will be able to sit with the Syuq and ask some questions on a one-to-one basis, inshallah. So let us have give some time to our brothers who do not have the opportunity to have scholars of this caliber from Hay'at Kibar al-Ulama, the people of high knowledge, who issue religious verdicts sitting with us every day. So let them take advantage of this, inshallah.